Well, this morning we are in Luke 24. There are three time frames in this chapter. Last week we looked at the time frame that began very early in the morning. You remember women were on the way to anoint the body of Jesus. That's what they were expecting to find, a dead body, a corpse in a grave. But that's not what they found. They found an empty grave, and later they would not only learn that Jesus had risen from the dead, but they actually saw him. And so they're pretty excited. They rush back to the hideout where the disciples were, and they proclaimed the good news that the tomb was empty. They had seen angels, and guess what? The disciples chose not to believe them. And so that's kind of where we are as we pick up the story in verse 13. And we are told that two of these disciples, now I think we all understand there were men that were appointed to be apostles, but there were also many men and women who were followers of Christ, disciples of Christ, some of them coming from the Galilee region, others living there in Judea. These two guys are on the road back home. Where's home? Well, we're told that they were from a village called Emmaus. The name means warm springs. And it was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And as they were walking, they were talking. The original language tells it's a pretty animated conversation. They're trying to figure it out. They're still in a state of shock. Shocked that the week that began with such high hopes. I mean, everybody thought this is it. Jesus. He's come to Jerusalem and listen to the crowds. They're going, Hosanna, Hosanna. He's going to launch the kingdom. That was their ardent hope. And they were so sure that it was going to happen. But that's not the way the week ended. The week ended with the crucifixion of Jesus. And they can't figure it out. And they were probably, you know, not only talking about the events of the week and the things that had happened, everything from the triumphal entry to the betrayal of Judas to the trial and the verdict and the death of Jesus, but they were probably reaching back to the Old Testament, those prophecies, and just trying to make sense of it. And they couldn't. So it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. So they're talking and somebody joins them, just kind of walks up beside them and is listening to them pour out their hearts and vent as they're just trying to figure it out. And Luke tells us their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. And he said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? So maybe putting that in a more contemporary way, man, you guys are bummed. What's wrong? What's your problem? Sad. Probably their body language, you know, their shoulders slumped over, their heads down. Then one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him. Now, who was Cleopas? I don't know. I don't know. We're not told who he is. There's all kinds of theories. Some people say that he is Joseph's brother, which would make him Jesus' step-uncle. We don't know who he was. We just know he's a disciple. And, you know, it's possible that the person that was with him could have been his wife. We don't know. But He answers Jesus and said to him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem, and have you not known the things which happened there in those days?" So it's real clear. They don't recognize Jesus at all. They don't have a clue. In fact, as far as they're concerned, Jesus is dead. But Jesus is talking to them, but they don't know it's Jesus. Why didn't they know it was Jesus? Well, we read it. You know, people say all kinds of things as to why they didn't know, but it says that their eyes were restrained. The Lord didn't want them to know that it was Jesus. Now, why wouldn't he have wanted them to know who they were talking to? Well, first of all, for purposes of this conversation, it's important that they just really open up their hearts and say what's on their hearts. That's what they had been doing. And did you know that there are often times where the Lord wants us to do the same thing? He just wants us to open up our hearts and let him know what's going on, what we're thinking, what we're feeling. You know, sometimes we have questions, "Lord, why are you doing this?" They had big questions, and they needed to voice those. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. You're thinking, well, he already knows, so why do we have to bother telling him? Because it's just good for you to verbalize and to express what's on your heart. And he wanted these guys to do that. They needed to do it. But there's something else that's going to come into play, and I'll just give you a hint about it right now. Jesus is risen from the dead. And there are going to be multiple times where he is with people that he knows, but they don't know he's with them. They don't see him. Now, just because you don't see Jesus doesn't mean that he's not with you, right? Didn't he say that? Didn't he say, "I will never leave you or forsake you"? So, hey, this is a classic deal. Didn't Jesus say, "Where two or more of you are gathered together, there will I be also"? Here they are. There's two guys, and Jesus is there. And Jesus, he'll be there with you. He's here right now. He is our guest of honor right now. You can't see him, but he's here. And you know, I'll tell you, as you grow in the Lord, that becomes not just a matter of faith. I mean, it becomes reality. I mean, you just know he's there. You just know that, you know, whether you're awake, whether you're asleep, whether you're paying attention or whether you're not paying attention, Jesus, he's there. He's there. He hears every conversation, sees every thought. He's there. And he's with these guys, and the disciples, they're going to be trained up in learning to begin to respond to Christ by faith and not by sight. Because as the time grows near for Jesus to ascend back into heaven, they're probably going to see him less and less. So you got that, right? Just because you don't see the Lord doesn't mean he's not there. He is there. And they're beginning to be trained up in that whole concept of walking by faith. So he said to them, "What things?" It's almost funny, isn't it? I mean, what things? The whole thing in the previous week, it had all centered around Jesus. Jesus knew all about those things. He had experienced those things. But they're going to go ahead and tell him. "The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping." Now, notice, they're speaking of Jesus. It's all in the past tense. Their mindset is, he's not with us anymore. He's dead. "Who was a prophet. We were hoping," past tense, "that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day, and since these things happened, yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us when they did not find his body, and they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but him they did not see. Then he said to them, this is Jesus speaking, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe. Now let's make sure we understand the intonation in Jesus' voice. He didn't say, you fools, what's wrong with you? It's, you know, this is a gentle rebuke. O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Here's a question. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? You know, Jesus would say, if you had been listening carefully, paying attention to the scriptures, you would understand why everything that happened last week happened. You would understand why Jesus had to go to a cross. You would get that, but the reason you don't get that, did you see it? Because they were slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Now, can you identify with those disciples? Have you ever been in a situation where you're thinking, I wish the Word of God didn't say that, because if it didn't say that, I would be able to do what I really want to do. You know, I want to be with that person. I don't want to get married right now, but I really want to be with that person. But the Bible does not allow me to do that. And so, you know, some people, they begin to ignore, and then they begin to disbelief. And, you know, when you start to do that, when you become selective in what you believe the Bible says and then what you believe it doesn't say, I mean, it says it, but you're thinking, well, I don't know, and you're starting to waffle in your faith. You're starting to become your own authority on what the Word of God is and what the Word of God isn't. See, that's the big problem that we have in our culture today. Wouldn't you agree? Some people say, yeah, the Word of God says this, but I don't know about this. In other words, man becomes the final arbitrator of the Word of God. Listen, it's either all true, all of it, from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, or it is not the Word of God. I believe it's all true. They didn't. There were parts of the Old Testament prophecies that were not popular. It just didn't fit the current mindset. What was the current mindset? Everybody wanted Jesus. Well, they wanted the Messiah. They wanted the Messiah to be a conquering king. They wanted him to be the Lion of the tribe of Judah, not the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. They were locked in to the former. That's who they wanted Jesus to be. And that always causes problems. When you decide that there's some things that you just don't want the Bible to say, or you don't want to believe about the Bible, you're going down a road that is going to lead to doubt and confusion. And I know many who have just finally said, well, I don't know whether I believe the Word of God or not. And they walk away. They walk away from the things that they know deep in their heart, at least they knew at one time, was true. But because of the fact that they can't believe it all, they have difficulty. So, the question. They should have known the answer, but because of their unbelief, they didn't. But Jesus, is going to give them a Bible study, a survey of the Old Testament scriptures. So that's what we have, beginning with verse 27. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Now you remember, they've got probably 6.5 miles yet to walk. And Jesus begins this incredible Bible study where the Word of God literally becomes alive to them. And what does he do? He takes passages of Scripture and he explains to them how those passages relate to himself. There is a passage in Genesis chapter 3 that talks about the seed of the woman crushing the head of the serpent. The seed of the woman. Fascinating. You know, I mean, most babies, all babies, they're the seed of men. Men provide the seed. There's something very interesting. I mean, there's the mystery of the virgin birth. I mean, there's all kinds of things in that. I don't know what Jesus did with all of these verses, but they were absolutely fascinating. I know one for sure that he must have talked about. As he moved on from Genesis 3:15, he probably landed at Genesis 22. He talked about the story. I remember hearing this story as a little kid in Sunday school. The story of Abraham. And God saying to Abraham, Abraham, take your only son, your son that you love. You remember he was instructed to take him to Mount Moriah and offer him up as a burnt offering. Did you know that there in Genesis 22, where God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, that's the first time that love is used in the Bible? That's the first mention of love. When I heard it in Sunday school, it was always one of these deals where Isaac, he was like this little kid, you know, 8 years old, like I was when I heard it. Those little kid is tied up on this altar. And Isaac was a grown man. Isaac was probably in his early 30s. Well, I'm taking too much time, but I only tell that to just let you know that when I heard it as an adult and it was related to Jesus and how Jesus was all over that story, I just remember being so amazed and, you know, why didn't I ever see this? Why didn't I ever get this? And they're having that experience over and over and over again. As this stranger, hey, remember, they don't know this is Jesus. Have no idea it's Jesus. As this stranger is taking the things of the Word of God and relating those things to Jesus so that they would understand why it was that before Jesus would come into his glory, he would suffer, and he would suffer on the cross. That's the question that he is addressing. And there were many, many other stories that Jesus is telling in this survey of Scripture. I'm sure Numbers 21, the serpent, remember that? The serpent being lifted up in the wilderness. Jesus related that himself to that story in John chapter 3 when he's talking to Nicodemus. As the serpent was lifted up in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up on a cross. And so story after story, right out of the Old Testament scriptures, scriptures that these guys had probably heard all of their lives. Jesus is bringing it back to himself. Wish we had an MP3 of that study. Man, would have been great. So they drew near to the village. They drew near to Emmaus, where they were going. And he indicated that he would have gone farther. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening and the day is far spent. It's almost as if they're saying, man, we want to hear more. Please, you know, just stay here with us. And Jesus indicating that he was going to go on. But when they said, Lord, would you stay with us? He stayed. And listen, I just got to say this. He'll do the same thing for you. When you ask, when you say, Lord, I really need you in this situation. Lord, I really need your presence. Lord, I really need your wisdom. Lord, I'm going into a really rough deal. I don't know what's going to come of this discussion that I'm going to have with my boss. I don't know what's going to come with the situation that's going on in our family. Lord, would you stay? Would you help me? Would you be with me? He'll stay. Just got to ask him. So it came to pass as he sat at the table with them that he took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and boom, he was gone. He vanished from their sight. Now listen to this. This is the key verse. And they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road, and while he opened the scriptures to us? We know now who it was. It was Jesus. But even before we knew who he was, as he's just unwrapping this and unpacking it for us and ministering to us, man, our cold hearts, suddenly they were on fire. God was moving. God was working. How was he working? How was he moving? Through his word. Through his word. Now, listen, I'm just going to make this short and simple because I want you to remember the two things that the Lord is putting before us this morning. Number one, you got to believe the entirety of God's word. You can't pick and choose. It's all or nothing. This is all God's word. That's lesson number one. And, you know, if you're in a situation this morning where you have said, well, you know, I really, it's just not convenient for me to believe that right now, you're in trouble. But secondly, and this is important as well. And I'll tell you, this is the Lord just really, really ministered to my heart. Here's the deal. When you read the Word of God, endeavor to see Jesus on every page. Because I know some of you, you know you're supposed to read the Word and you dutifully read the portion that you've assigned to yourself or the schedule that you're following and so forth. You know you're supposed to do that and you do that. But it's a little bit boring. It's a little bit of a drag. And, you know it's supposed to be something different. Well, maybe the problem is that you're reading your word and you're not looking for the Lord. You're not looking for Jesus. You know, I'm telling you, and you know this, there is a lot of good information in the Word of God. There's a lot of things that you can learn from the Word of God, but listen, if you leave Jesus out of your personal devotion, the Word of God could very well become boring to you, or you can get into some kind of area of learning that is fascinating to you, but you lose sight of what the Bible is really all about. It's a book about Jesus. Jesus said, lo, the volume of the book speaks of me. And he was talking to guys who were experts in the scriptures, but when they came face to face with Jesus, and when they saw all of the evidence from the Word of God that he was Jesus and that he was the Messiah, they didn't even recognize it because they weren't looking for Jesus. They weren't looking for their Messiah. And, you know, I don't want that to happen to any member of this body. Listen, we need to be looking for Jesus on every page of Scripture. And we need to sit at his feet and allow him to make sure that our hearts don't get cold. And then unbelief begins to set in. Don't let that happen. Don't let that happen. Find Jesus in the Word, because he's there everywhere. Father, we thank you for your Word this morning. And we thank you, we just rejoice so much in the fact that because of your great love, you came, Jesus, you came and suffered that we might obtain eternal salvation. No matter what's going on in our lives presently, we can all look forward to eternity with you if we know you in a personal way. If we have come to you and allowed you to forgive us and give us that fresh start in your Son, we can only obtain salvation in that way. Only by knowing you, Jesus. Now, Lord, would you help us to approach your Word as not a duty, but just a time where through the ministry of your Word, our hearts can stay on fire. And we, in turn, can be on fire for you. We need that, Lord. Our church needs that. Southeast LA County need that. We need to be on fire for you, Lord. And we've learned how that can happen this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.